This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. You can read my most recent poems and essays at my Substack page. Musings from Between the Lines. The most recent essay is Orwell Could Have Written 1498. The U.S. homeland is a foreign corporation, which is Orwellian. It was Orwellian from the get-go. That people refer, have patriotism, and they call U.S. the homeland. America basically has a schizoid personality built into it, which helps me understand why, you know, a lot of stuff just seems like contradictory or schizoid, because it's built into the system. But that's a whole nother story. And this week it's autumn leaves. I deliberately spell it that way because I don't like to use the word leaves, because even though the leaves are leaving the tree, it's just the verb leaves. So every time I say leaf, I don't want to just, it sounds like the verb to leave. So I don't, for some reason, I just don't like that. So I poetically license call them autumn leaves. And I would have to look into who started the F becomes the V in a lot of words like that when they're plural. But anyway, the part of the leaps has to do with the cycles of the seasons, which, as on the homepage of my website, allbook-books.com, which began in 2002, the publishing, small press publishing of All Book Books, there is the basic description, encouraging the many voices of consciousness and respecting the variety of cultures, lifestyles, and spiritual traditions living in kinship with Mother Earth and the cycles of the seasons. That's the emphasis of this episode, having to do with living in kinship with Mother Earth and the cycles of the seasons. So I was listening to a fairly new Bruce Cockburn album called Bone on Bone. Excellent album. And the song Looking and Waiting. And there's a verse in there that started this episode. It's like he's talking to spirit or God. It could be a person, but it more seems like he's talking to the spirit, God, whatever you call them, we, it, he, she, whatever. You're like the leaves that come down from the trees, a suggestion of springtime to be. Crunching underfoot, outlined in frost, full of promise for the return of something lost. So I like that in and of itself. At the time of the leaves, when people, the leaves are coming off the trees, and people are typically thinking of, endings, and nature is dying, which it isn't, because the leaves actually go into the ground and give it nutrients and stuff, so still alive. Anyway, I like that line a lot. A suggestion of springtime to be. So at the time of the kind of peak of the ending of the leaf season, he's thinking ahead that it's actually suggesting springtime, and in the frost, full of promise for the return of something lost. So there's a very forward motion there that I like. Now, to contrast that, it reminded me of a short little statement, which I put into the 2024 haiku calendar. So it's like, it reads like a little poem, but it's kind of a prayerful statement about autumn. And this is from Teocasin Ghost Horse, who is a Lakota. And he, if you want to learn more about Native people around the world, listen to his radio show in its, I think, 32nd year, First Voices Radio. So here's a Lakota perspective. Now again, this is translating Lakota consciousness into English, so something gets lost in the translation, but nonetheless, it's the kind of thing I could read about 10 times in a row just to try to get it all, so I'm not going to try to over-explain it, because I can't speak for him, but here it is. Every fallen leaf is a completed prayer, a seasoned circle acknowledging relationship, rhythmically sustained by the very same heartbeat held by the tree they saw in a lifetime, a memory of a continuum of time immemorial. I'll read that again. Every fallen leaf is a completed prayer, a seasoned circle, acknowledging relationship rhythmically sustained by the very same heartbeat held by the tree they saw in a lifetime, a memory of a continuum of time immemorial. So that, to me, that alludes to the some kind of prayers, you know, at the beginning, the way people might plant their crops and say prayers. So at the beginning of the season, there's prayers. So that that begins the leaf cycle, and the fallen leaf is a completed prayer cycle. That would be my interpretation. Not to over try to just explain it, but to give a flavor of it. And, you know, again, obviously the reference to a season circle and the relationship. That's much of the native perspective is all about relationships, and even a leaf and a tree are in relationship with the sun and the earth and the air and the water and the rains and the stars. So it's all interrelated, and the memory of a continuum, so it's ongoing. These are the endless cycles that are ongoing instead of some beginning and some ending. And I've heard Tjogsen say that the Lakota word for tree actually has like the word heart in it. And recently, some years ago, I think scientists discovered that the way that the tree pumps the sap is akin to a heart. And here are the Lakota people, without the quote science, for hundreds, thousands of years, knowing that the tree has a heart. So yeah, that's something one can ponder forever. So I like both of those as again reflecting the thinking of this autumn leaf season as both an thinking backward to the past, to what began the season, and thinking forward to what the next season's coming. So it puts one in a past, present, and future all at once kind of consciousness, which is much of the way I like to see the trees, as the roots go deep down. And in a similar way, each of us, I think when I think of family and all the people I've learned things from, those are my roots that go deep down. And those are literally nurturing me now, but they're of the past. And, you know, my personal tree, what leaves will I put forth? That's what I think about. Especially, you know, one of the things obviously is my writing, and every poem, every story, every essay, every quote, everything. They're like the leaves or the fruits that get produced. And we all have a kind of tree self that is rooted in the past, present, and living in the present, attending to the weather, so to speak, of the day, and projecting and thinking and growing toward the future. But it's all right here. And I'll add that if you want to find out more about the Lakota perspective, go to Tjogsen's website, akantuintelligence.org, akantuintelligence.org. And on the site, he explains that, here's a quote, Akantu is a Lakota word meaning earth being human. Or, in a deeper understanding, in old Lakota, A as a prefix is many beings, walking, existings, living upon the earth. Kan, K-A-N, is energy, and T-U is the future and the past meeting in the present, time and space simultaneously. The past, the future, and the past meeting in the present, time and space simultaneously. Wow, you could ponder that for a long time, or for a long timeless. So that's some of the native perspective, which is why I'm so fascinated with the native perspective and the language, because we don't really have that in English. We have to, like I had to, today in this episode, I got there through the thinking about the leaps and the, you know, it through the quotes, and it was a process of two different quotes, one projecting future, one projecting past. So it took all that to assemble, which then reminded of the Lakota word. So it takes a lot of work to get to what in the Lakota is already like a pretty simple simple statement. So that's some of the complexity of languages, some of the variety of language perspectives. Enjoy the beginning and the ongoingness of the seasons. All right, be well. Thank you for listening.